This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to visit with one of the best leaders and nicest people in healthcare. We're visiting today with Brett Tracy. Brett's going to tell us about what trends he's watching currently, advice for leaders, and a lot more. Brett, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yeah, Scott, thank you. My name is Brett Tracy. I'm the Vice President of Revenue Cycle here at Arkansas Heart Hospital in Little Rock, Arkansas. We're a two-hospital system, over 20 clinics throughout Arkansas, and have bridged into the state of Texas.
Thank you. Talk a little bit about your career, and then we'll talk about some of the trends, AI and revenue cycle, and what you're seeing.
Yeah, no, I've been blessed over my career to have stints as a VP of revenue cycle at other health systems, as well as a background in consulting and IT. And little did I know how much the IT would play into my future as we get to today's world of technology.
Thank you. What trends are you watching in revenue cycle currently? What's going on? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I'm seeing a huge shift with the artificial intelligence or AI and robotic process automation, or you may hear the term RPA. And how do we automate steps or workflows within the billing and coding areas so that our staff are focusing on more of the higher end or higher yielding processes, and then the more simplistic steps can be, you know, automated with the machine or with the computer system. That has been kind of the huge shift in revenue cycle. I think the other thing that's really noteworthy is payer reimbursement and policy change shifts, such as your Medicare Advantage plans. And then one thing that's kind of coming into fruition over the past year is the impact of the GLP-1 medication, such as Ozempic, and how does that impact healthcare, finance, and even the revenue cycle?
And how do you see, I mean, that's a fascinating issue. It's sort of the weight loss drugs. How does it impact the revenue cycle? Tell me about that a little bit, because I know, for example, in some places it's impacting negatively, like bariatric surgery, or it's impacting, you know, the snack companies some, not quite at a huge amount yet. But how does it apply to revenue cycle? What do you see there?
Yeah, it impacts patient expectations, whereas patients may have been coming for bariatric services, and now the interest is in, you know, one, do you offer this drug? Two, what is the cost of it? And then three, how long, you know, would that individual need to be on those drugs? And what does that look like? And then from a revenue cycle's perspective, you know, what does it look like to be billed for it? How much do I pay? You know, do you offer payment plans? All types of questions are coming in there. And then it causes us to shift our focus for bariatric services to say, you know, how profitable is it? You know, how are our patient volumes changing over time? And how does it impact the overall continuum of care for those patients?
Right. It's already having a huge impact on the amount of bariatric surgery. And then people, these drugs are costing patients, could be $1,000 a month. They're covered by insurance, not covered by insurance. Depends if it's diabetes, not diabetes. Lots of different issues. So you're seeing a lot of that. Got it. Any thoughts, Brett, on how the revenue cycle will change over the next 10 years based on digital back and forth and based on artificial intelligence or RPA?
Yeah, I think it's going to migrate heavily into a technology-based model. You still need the experts to understand the policies, how to get a claim paid, how to make sure something is coded correctly. But by and large, the technical skill set needed at even that frontline level is going to vastly increase to be successful. And then we think about overall revenue cycle. No longer is it just about billing or customer service or finance. You know, it's much more into the world of like financial portfolio management, strategic analytics. How do you understand what's going on with the payers? And that also includes how do you fully integrate with your EMR? A lot of the EMRs have great processes, but they still require a human intervention at some point to manage it, or a very advanced IT team to support it at the local health system.
Thank you. And talk about this. You're one of the nicest people I've come across throughout my healthcare sort of career with Becker's Healthcare and so forth. Talk about it. Well, it's completely true. Talk about nice in leadership. And you know, there's these old, you know, can nice guys finish first? Talk about the importance of being a principle-centered person and how you deal with people and work with people, and is a key to leadership.
Yeah, I think one thing that people can, you know, misconstrue is niceness as softness or weakness. And when you think about applying that, you know, you can be kind, but you still walk firmly and still be respectful. When I think about leadership, it's, you know, treating others how you want to be treated, and operating in a mode of respect for all people. That doesn't mean everything will be smooth. I say to people, be flexible. Realize that the skills and knowledge you have today that helped you obtain your current role will not sustain you, even if you want to stay in that role, or if you say, you know what, I want something different or more responsibility. You have to stay curious. You have to be willing to learn. And it's okay to not know something, but it's not okay to stay in that ignorance or not knowing. You have to have that ability to pivot and learn. But within the, you know, leadership, it's about being a great communicator, setting the expectations, holding people accountable, and then going forward. And if you maintain that crucial conversation mentality or that radical candor mentality, people will either get on board or they'll say, no, I can't do this.
Thank you. And any other thoughts you'd like to share today with the audience, either about revenue cycle or about leadership or about trends you're watching in healthcare?
Yeah, I think we have to really prioritize physician collaboration. Some organizations use the physician relationship model, or may have heard the term dyad model, where you pair a physician leader with finance or revenue cycle leader. Don't underestimate the value of continually prioritizing that relationship. You know, physicians, getting them bought into the understanding of the steps that are going on in revenue cycle has impact their daily process. Is getting their input to help influence change so that everyone can be bought into a unified approach. If you have that, I think that creates a continuity for a really strong health system, something, a term that's been called clinically driven revenue cycle. And if you don't bridge those relations, then you can have things that feel like they're in silos or physicians that are wondering what's going on. So what I would say, and all of this with technology, with payer shifts, you know, keep the physician-patient relationship as a primary focus, and keep that customer service element, whether you're servicing your providers or you're servicing the patients.
Thank you very, very much, Brett. Brett, it's always great to visit with you. You're such a breath of fresh air in so many ways. Thank you for joining us on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Again, Brett Tracy, Arkansas Heart Hospital. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.